Good morning, Discovery Community Church. How is everybody doing? Are we doing good?
All 10 of you.
I know my dad talks a lot over here. You just got to get him to stop talking. Steve Jones, sit down. We're going to praise the Lord. Can everybody stand up with me?
He completely ignored you.
Yeah.
The power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Come on. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Church, my name is Star, and I'm just so thankful to have a cooler morning. excited. You can see at the front of your worship folders that we're excited to celebrate 25 years. Today, we're going to start celebrating that, and it's going to be a little bit all spring, right up until Disco Fest at the end of July. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But first, I want to just welcome you, welcome our live streamers who are tuning in. If you are watching us from live stream, we're excited to worship with you today. Let us know where you're worshiping today in the chat. And for those of you that are first-timers, I want to welcome you. It's a brave thing when you come into a church for the first time. I want to point your attention to our worship folder and the insert inside, which will have a lot of information about upcoming events. It's a great place to take notes and take it home with you. Put it on your fridge so you know what's going on. And let's see, the other thing in that worship folder is a connection card. Connection cards are so important to us because connecting with you is so important to us. So if you take that out, whether you're a first-timer or an old-timer, put your name on there. You can put your prayer requests on there. Also, with some of the announcements that I'm giving, you can jot down if you have any questions, and someone will get back to you and give you more information. Speaking of upcoming events, I want to point your attention to a couple. The first one is that we have baptisms coming up in May 3rd. So that's a big deal, yeah. If you are interested in learning more about what baptism is, or if you already know and you've been meaning to do it, you guys, this is your chance. Write down baptisms on your connection card, and somebody will get back to you about kind of what that means and get you connected with getting baptized. That will be during service on May 3rd, and we're really excited because we love just celebrating with those who make that their faith step in their journey. So we're looking forward to that. That same Sunday, May 3rd, after service, will be another pizza with the pastor. I guess that was so popular last time, right? Raise your hand if you went to pizza with the pastor. Okay, you guys were there. I guess it was so popular they ran out of pizza, which I guess I shouldn't say because that's not really selling it to you guys. They will have enough pizza this time. But if you are new and have questions, even if you're not new and you just are like, I don't get to hang out with Pastor John that much. I want to hang out with him. Come on May 3rd, right after service, back there in that hallway. There will be a room that's assigned to it. And it's a great time to hang out. You bring your questions. They bring the pizza. I think that's a pretty good deal, right? Okay, today, though, what you can expect, we're going to worship a little bit more. We are starting a new sermon series. Bobby is going to start it. It's called Work, the Joy of What We Do, What We Earn, and How We Spend It. And I think that that's good. That's a good to have a good attitude, a holy attitude towards work. And then we'll have a little bit of time for giving back to God and some prayer and reflection, and then we'll worship a little bit more and then have some fellowship time after service. So that's what to expect today. But before we get back into worship, I mentioned that it's our 25th anniversary. We are going to start every Sunday off with a little 3-minute video so that we can kind of hear people's stories of discovery over the last 25 years. So we're going to start that video off right now.
Kelly Swellison, and gosh, I think I first walked into Discovery about 2005, so quite a long time ago. A broken person. I'd gone through a lot of really traumatic things, and we had just left a church that was not very welcoming and very we had some bad experiences there. And my neighbor said, "Hey, you should try my church. You know, it's a nice place." And so I did, Yeah, I loved it. I walked in there and I felt welcome. I felt seen. It was a great experience. Still though, I tried to hide. I tried to be invisible. I really just didn't want anybody to see me, but they did. And over the years, people have invested in me and I've tried to invest in others and I've grown so much. It's just not even, I have a hard time imagining how much I've grown. Thanks to God into discovery and how much I've grown in this life, as short as it's been in this realm of it. The most traumatic thing in my life was when my daughter died. And honestly, I remember a lot and a little. But I remember that my Discovery family was there for me every step of the way. And they made sure I ate, made sure I had things. I don't even know who. I can't even remember who all was there, but I know that my Discovery family was there for me every step of the way, and I couldn't have gotten through it without them. This is my place. These are my people. Over the years, you know, people come and go. They move, they stay, they move, they come back. But the heart of Discovery has just always been God's Word. Being on mission, being a family, you know, being a mosaic of people that come together in all different levels of faith, in all different places in life, and come together, and we can, you know, we can just be together in God's space where He grows us best.
Can you stand with me while we praise the Lord some more? It was beautiful.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. So good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
We worship you for being who you are. A waymaker that finds us in the midst of the valley and provides for us, sees us. The Bible says you know every hair on our head. You know us intimately, God. And while we were still enemies, still sinners, you sent your son to die for us, to make a way. Thank you, God. Thank you for your matchless grace and your mercy and your provision for us, God. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, you're at work. Thank you. Thank you for working in us. Thank you for working through us, God. Thank you for working for us. Father, bless this time. That our hearts and our affections would be geared towards what your spirit is up to in this space. That our hearts would be ready to receive your word, and that your word would land on fertile soil, that it would go deep to every part of our lives, that we would leave here different because of an encounter with you. Not because we are anything, but because you are everything. You have your way in us today. Father, bless your word as it goes forth. Let nothing that I do get in the way of your business here today. May you be glorified, highly lifted up for who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know you're sitting down. I'm going to ask you to stand up one more time and turn and introduce yourself to somebody new today. Why does Bobby do this? All right, as you take your seat, I want to welcome you to Discovery Community Church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bobby. I'm the Director of Care and Community here. Our pastor, Pastor John Fredericks, will be back next week. So if you want to come back next week and meet him, he'd love to meet you, I'm sure. But I'm so glad that you chose to make Discovery your place of worship this morning. And if you're watching us online or during our live stream, hello, welcome. Let us know where you're watching from and who you're watching with. Well, last week we celebrated Easter. Yes. We did it twice last week. One of the things that happened last week is that our sound went out. So if that happens today, I want you to know that I did 10 years United States Army. You will hear me today, all right? We're going to make that happen. But we're just so grateful for what God is doing in the lives of his people. And you just saw on that really sweet video that Discovery is celebrating 25 years of serving this community. Yeah. 25 years. What a milestone. You know, and it speaks to the goodness of God, how he provides and how he supplies and how he develops and deploys leaders across the region for his glory. And I'm prayerful for the next 25 years, amen? And I hope that you are too. It's an opportunity when we think about what God is doing in a church full of imperfect people, how he would bring us together for his purpose so that he could get glory out of that. It's awesome. God builds his church. As someone who works in the church, I love the idea that God builds his church, that he doesn't need us to do that, that no matter what, his church will last forever, and we get to be a part of what he's doing here. He puts his people to work. And for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about work. And I know some of you are aggravated because I said we're going to talk about work at 10:30 on Sunday morning, and you typically don't think about work until about 7, if at all. But I want to talk about work. We are going to talk about work for the next several weeks. We're going to be in a sermon series called Work, A Theology of the Gift of Work. A Theology of the Gift of Work. Yes, work is a gift. And we're going to explore what that gift calls us to through Scripture. But before I do that, I want to tell you a story. It's about a priest on his way touring through a village. And just like any good priest or pastor, they like to ask questions. So the priest is on his way, and he sees three workers. And each of the workers seem to be doing the same thing. They're using these large hammers, and they're taking big stones and turning them into smaller stones. Each of them appear to be doing the same thing. So this curious priest goes to the first worker and he says, "Excuse me, sir, what are you doing?" And the worker's annoyed. "What do you mean, what am I doing? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm taking big stones and I'm turning them into small stones. And if you stop asking me questions, I can get back to that. Thank you." The priest says, "Right on, brother. Please continue. Sorry to bother you." Priest goes to the next man, and he says, "Excuse me, sir, what are you doing?" And the man says, "Well, priest, I'm a really busy man, and you see, I have a large family that I have to provide for. And this is my third job. I'm also the butcher and the baker. I was going to be the candlestick maker, but that job was taken, so now I'm a rock breaker. And this is how I provide for my family, so if you would allow me to get back to my hustle, I'd like to do that." The priest says, "Absolutely, get back to what you are doing." And the priest talks to the third man who seems to be doing the same thing the other two are doing. The priest says, "Excuse me, sir, what are you up to?" The man thinks for a bit, lays down his hammer, and he looks off into the distance where there's a construction site. And he says, "Priest, I am doing my part to build the house of God." You see, how we work matters to God, and it should matter to us. I'm curious for you today, which worker are you? Which worker are you? So we're going to be in a sermon series titled Work, A Theology of the Gift of Work, and today we're going to talk about work as worship. If you can you turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? If you don't have a Bible, just behind Jason, there's a stack of Bibles, and we're happy to give you one if you raise your hand. We'd love to bless you with a Bible you can take with you. If you're one of those people who just likes to listen and look at the notes later, you can go to the YouVersion Bible app on your magic device. Go to the event section, search for discovery, and you'll find my notes there. So you can just lean into what we're talking about today. All right, I've stalled enough for you to be able to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Paul writes this. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." So, why this sermon series, Work, A Theology of the Gift of Work? Well, economists and scholars agree that the modern workplace, the modern workforce, is in an interesting time. And they call this interesting time that we're in the Great Detachment. The Great Detachment. And the Great Detachment is marked by a lowering of employee engagement. In fact, they say that employee engagement is the lowest it's been in 11 years. Globally, that number is even lower. So what does this mean? Well, this idea of engagement is the emotional, cognitive, and physical commitment an employee has to their organization, its goals, and its values. The emotional, cognitive, and physical commitment an employee has to its goals and values. Put in the simplest terms possible, people don't want to work. Surprise. Now, it's not all of us. It's not all of us. But there's a lot of simply breaking going on. I'm just here so I don't get fined kind of work going on. There's a lot of hustling going on. But the Great Detachment says that there's not a lot of building going on. How we work matters to God, and it should matter to us. This Great Detachment that economists and scholars have coined, you see it. You feel it. Some of us live it. When's the last time you've been on a customer service call? I don't know about you, but those are brutal. It's almost as if I'm bothering them to help me. Do your job, help me. Or you feel it, right? You feel it in the service that you get. Someone comes to your home to fix something, they break something else. Right? Or maybe you are living it. Maybe this is how you are showing up at work. Colossians 4 says this, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." I want to tease for a bit because some of this language can be striking in the context of U.S. history. That the Bible was written long before there was the United States of America, long before there was a thing called chattel slavery. So when we see a word like master in the Bible, what we're talking about is a person who has authority in a workplace, a boss, a supervisor. Master, okay? And when we see a word like slave, we are talking about someone who is a bonds person, someone who works for someone else. So whether you are an artist or a physician, if you work for someone else in the Bible, you're considered a slave. You with me? So what this passage speaks to us is that a lot of bosses, a lot of owners, a lot of managers get it wrong. And a lot of staff, a lot of employees get it wrong. How many of you know that the workplace can be a hard place? But work wasn't always meant to be this way. And we're going to look at, we're going to explore a theology of work. Now, that's a very Sunday morning word, theology. So what am I talking about there? A theology is simply a study of Scripture to understand the relationship between God and a topic. The study of Scripture to understand the relationship between God and that topic, that subject. And for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about work. Yay. We're going to talk about work. But why, or excuse me, where are we going in this series? My hope, my prayer is that we look at work differently. That we see our role at our work, whatever that is, across life's places and spaces and phases, we see it differently. In this series, we're going to explore what Scripture says about making our 9-to-5 a mission field. We're going to look at how God provides an increase and how we should be stewards of what He provides us. We're going to look at our response in giving back, both intentionally and meaningfully. And this week, we're going to look at our work as worship. And as I was preparing this week, I was thinking about some questions like, what if the best way we worship God is the way we work? What if God's people are counter the detachment that's happening everywhere else? What if we were to show up in our spaces and places of work with an attitude of gratitude, expectation, and worship? How might that radically change your shift, your team, your organization, the culture? So what does God say about work? In Genesis 2, we see creation. Genesis 2, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. All the work of creating that He had done. Light and dark, day and night, sky and land, sea and plants and trees and fruit and sun and moon and stars, creatures, birds, livestock, wild animals, and mankind. God does all of that, and he's woven His character into His work. As God creates mankind, we see the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, having a meeting where the outcome is, let us create man in our image, in our likeness. We're created in the likeness of the Creator, not like the rest of creation. And then He rests. But before He rests, He gives man a gift of work. Going back a bit into Genesis, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. The Bible calls work a blessing. There's a call for us to be fruitful and to increase in number, that God appoints man to rule. So the structure of work is in alignment with God's character of order. And there they are, tending a garden in paradise. And I can only imagine what it's like to, I don't know, pet a lion or a bear. They had that opportunity. They were in a space of perfection. And they only had one job. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We all know what happens. They mess it up. As would we. Humans are that way. And then something happens. There's a breaking that happens. In Genesis 3, we see that God has an outcome. He has a curse. Watch this. In Genesis 3, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food
until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Sin breaks. Sin broke work then, and sin breaks work now. And what that means for us is that effort doesn't mean efficiency. That means some of us will plant seeds and they won't necessarily grow. Or we'll plant seeds, but the tree may not grow as high or as fruitful as it might because pests are going to come to eat it. All of you gardeners and farmers say amen. That it takes toil, it takes work to work. But absent perfection doesn't change God's call. Just because we have to toil, we have to wait for the fruit because we're sweating from our brow, doesn't mean that we shouldn't work or we're not called to be good stewards of what God provides us. In fact, if we fast forward to the story of Noah, after they get signed that there's dry ground, God says this: "As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Even through the brokenness of work, God continues to call us to be fruitful regardless of our circumstances. He calls us to be intentional with our time, with our effort, and with rest. He keeps coming back to be fruitful, be fruitful. We find it even in the New Testament that how we go about our work matters to God and to our witness in places and spaces we're called to. In Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law." That we should be fruitful in how we go about our work, that the motivation that should drive us, separate from the great detachment, is that we want to be fruit bearers, that the quality of our work should point back to God, that the impact of our presence, our workplace should be different because we're there. And it should all point back to the Spirit. Now, we would see our work as worship, and it is an outcome of how we were created. In Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Listen to this. That God knit you together. That he's given you skills and interests that he wants to use for his glory. And that our response to that is praise and worship. When we look at this scripture, oftentimes people can make it about themselves, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. All the wonder that's in it is in God's hands. We're the product of what he has done. And as a product of what he has done, we should use what he has given us in our creation to glorify him and to worship him. In Ephesians 2:10, we read about the call that we have, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are valuable because of God's craftsmanship." He doesn't make mistakes. And because of Jesus, work has been redeemed to its original design. And that there's an opportunity for us to have sanctified evidence, and that how we do our work should be drenched in acts of love and service and obedience. And good works are the product of salvation. As you're listening to this, you might be thinking, well, what if I'm unemployed? Or what if I'm retired? Like, you're talking about works. How does that apply in my life? I believe God calls us to work regardless of our phases, and sometimes he calls us to allow him to provide for us in those stages. In Exodus 23, "For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among you may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what is left. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove." Listen, Jesus teaches us if we're careful to read the Bible, that there will always be poor among us. And the Bible teaches us, if we're careful to read it, that God is aware of every need. The Bible talks about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air being provided for, and that God is worthy of our trust and our provision, for our provision. So if we're in a phase of life where we don't have what we believe we need, it's an opportunity to trust God for that. And if we're not in a phase of life where we are relying on the provision of others, it's an opportunity for us to be generous with what God has given us. Work is a path to generosity, and being fruitful is setting us up to be a blessing. You know, in the Bible, I couldn't find anything in the Bible that talked about retirement. Maybe you can, but I can't find it. So if you find a verse, let me know. I don't see it there. But I do see that life has chapters and phases. Here's an example in Titus. In Titus 2. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Listen, everyone has something to contribute. The wisdom that you might have in your years, I talked to a couple who walked in today. They'll be celebrating 55 years of marriage in July. What an opportunity it would be to sit at their feet and listen to all of the wisdom that they have. What a blessing. Some of y'all laughing, like, we got some stories for you. Everyone has something to contribute, and every contribution has worship potential. And imagine what life would be like if we were able to sit at the feet of our elders and listen to their wisdom. How many dangers we would avoid if we were able to do that. Regardless of the phases of life, we are called to work as worship. And even especially in life's places, Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters. You know, when I was a younger man, a long time ago, I had to get into my head that home is job number one. That if I treat home like a burden, if I treat home like a chore, then job number two and three get really hard. Some of us are kinder to the people we work with than the people in our own home. That shouldn't be. It's an opportunity for us to be a blessing in our home. At school, some of you are students. You should be the student who is a blessing in that space. That whatever you do in that space, you are being fruitful, being someone who is helping out, helping others, being a light. On the job site, I've been in human resources for about 20 years. I look at it as a gift. As a calling, I get to work with people. I really love people. I get to build things that help people out. And the longer I stay in my profession and over the last few years, I've realized that though I love people, I don't really like people all the time. Because they walk into my office and they'll say things like, so-and-so ate my lunch. Or they'll say things like, they won't go to lunch with me. Or they'll say things like, I don't get along with this person. Can you fix it for me? And I used to love that. Oh, let's do it. Let's sit down. Let's meet together and talk about it. Now it's really annoying. I really want them to figure it out. But I don't desire that to be how I show up. I want to be loving, and I want to be patient, and I want to be kind. I want to forbear. Preparing for this sermon has really convicted me for how I show up at work. We're called to work as worship, even in God's house. Kind of makes sense. We're working in a church, and you know, everything that we should do here should be pointing back to God. But how many of you know that just because this is God's house doesn't mean that we all show up here every Sunday with the right attitude of our work being worship? And it breaks. Some of you are here because you went to a church that you didn't feel loved or seen or heard. On any given Sunday in this place, most of what you see happening here is happening because of volunteers. And I'm so grateful for all of our volunteers. Yeah, got a clap back there. Because it's work. I coach and mentor young people who are just starting out in their careers, and they'll ask me, Bobby, how do I gain experience in the thing that I want to do? And I'll tell them, go volunteer. Because if any of you have ever volunteered anywhere, you know that that's work. It's experience. And even in that, we're called to worship. We're called to bear fruit. Now, we keep coming back to this bearing fruit, that God would want us to exemplify salt and light, to be his representatives in the places and where we work. And we're only going to be able to do that if we allow God's work in us. In Matthew 7, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. In verse 20, thus by their fruit you will recognize them. I'm going to look up here so no one thinks I'm talking about them. Some of you will never be accused of being a Christian in your workplace because of your character, because of how you work, and how you behave. And my challenge to us is that we will see our opportunity to let God work in us so that our character, our motivations, our skills, our personalities are shifted and geared to worship him. Okay, I already told you that I'm a little frustrated about my heart and my career. Here's what's challenging for me. It's almost as if I'm on a fire tower, and I'm looking out over the town, and I can see smoke coming out of one of the huts, and I go, "Oh, there's smoke happening over here." So I go to the chiefs, and I say, "Hey, chiefs, guess what? There's smoke over here, and I've seen a smoke like that before, and it usually leads to fire." And I'm telling them exactly what I believe is going to happen because I've seen it time and time again. And while I'm telling them that this smoke leads to fire, they're telling me that this smoke is actually snow. And I get frustrated. I get angry. Because how dare you not listen to me? How dare you not see my genius in what I'm doing here at work? My heart is stained by my pride. That in this space, God wants to work in me and refining my character to his outcome. That he wants to work in me to make my motivations less hustle and more building. That he wants me to use my skills in such a way where I'm not breaking, but I'm building. That God would work in us, and he would also work through us. In 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many so that they may be saved. We talk about obedience. It might bother you to sit with a term like obedience. You know, some of us, I'll talk about me. I think I'm smarter than my boss. Not John, my other boss. So it's sometimes it's hard for me to be obedient to somebody I think I'm smarter than. But what if I were to see that a different way? What if I were to see it in a way that I'm doing everything I can to be fruitful? Because watch this. I'm not seeking my own good. I'm not seeking being the smartest person in the room. I am seeking the good of many. So that, watch this, they may be saved. At the end of the day, God is calling people to himself. And his goal, his mission, his strategy is to use us to do that. Can I stress you out for a little bit? You are the only Jesus some people will ever meet. You. I wouldn't have a plan like that. I'd send an angel down. I'd do it 100 different ways. But God chose to use people like you and me, imperfect people, to be on a perfect mission. And many of you know this. Where do you spend most of your time in any given week? At work. So God has a mission to use us to bring people to him, and we spend most of our time at work. We should probably be better at that, at being salt and light, being representatives. Not you, just me. God's work in us, through us, because the true gift of work is also for us. In Ecclesiastes, we read, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. That as you plant the seed and birds come eat it, I don't plant, so I don't know what kind of things eat the seed, but things that you don't want eating the seeds, eat the seed. As you do that, that there can be satisfaction in that. As I deal with the people who walk in my office with the same complaint we talked about 2 months ago, I can find satisfaction in that. That God is present in the brokenness of what sin has done to work. And in this series, we're going to talk about work as a gift. We're going to look at making our 9-to-5 a mission field, as I said. We're going to talk about God's increase and how we become good stewards of what he's given us, how we can be intentionally and meaningful givers. And in these things, we would have a righteous response. I'm going to set us up to close now. Book of John, we hear this from Jesus. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In verse 36, even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. Now this is Jesus talking to his disciples. There's a whole story happening here. I encourage you to read John 4. Jesus is talking to someone that his disciples think he shouldn't be talking to. He sends them to go get food. They come back and they say, you know, he starts saying this this verse, and they're confused. What do you mean you've eaten? They sometimes don't pick up on what Jesus is putting down, but here's what I want you to know about what he's saying here. Obeying God is the most satisfying task, regardless of the phase or place in your life. That if you do your work in such a way that you don't care about if the outcome blesses you, but you're only interested in the outcome of being obedient to God, what you do will bless someone else. And that is your blessing. Knowing that being obedient to God and what you do blesses someone else is the blessing. The value of our work is in what God is building. The value of our work is in the gladness we get to have within the body and the testimony of God's goodness shown in how we show up. I'm going to leave you with this, two things. Good work is right in front of you. Regardless of the place or space or phase of life that you're in, good work is right in front of you. And I'll tell you this story. Go back with me to last week. We were doing this egg hunt on Saturday morning. I don't really like stuff like that, but it's not about me. So we get to this field, and the field is kind of cut in half, and on this side there's like a field for smaller kids, and on this side there's a field for larger kids, and we got a larger kid, so we go to the larger kid field. And the field has a rope around it, and inside of that rope there are hundreds, maybe 1,000 eggs. There's a lot of eggs. They're not real eggs, they're the little plastic eggs. You can't see through them, you don't know what's in them, but you just see a field of eggs. And there's kids all around that rope. And the announcer's getting them ready, getting them excited, right? There's a tension building up. And these kids have bags. We brought a modest Target bag, right? Reusable. Some kids have pillowcases. Some kids have backed their cars up so that they can just scoop the eggs into a trunk. No, that didn't happen. But there were some industrial-sized bags that these kids had. And rightfully so, because around that rope, any kid could wave their hand and their shadow would cover maybe 2 to 3 dozen eggs. There were enough eggs for every kid to have a good Easter romp. So the announcer gets to be a countdown going, everybody's jazzed. Some of the kids are taking their foot and sliding eggs closer to them, and parents are admonishing them and throwing the eggs back in. It's a whole situation. Announcer says, ready, set, go. And remember when I told you that a kid could wave their hand and 2 to 3 dozen eggs were right in front of them? Almost every kid bound over those eggs to get to the eggs that were in the middle of this field. And as a preacher, this spoke to me. I was like, wow, that's what we do. That God puts work right in front of us. But we yearn for that which is on the other side. Whatever place you're in, whatever phase of life that you're in, there's an opportunity for you to worship God right where you are. Well, Bobby, I'm unemployed. What an opportunity for you to worship God and trusting in Him for His provision. Somebody came up to me today and said, I'm close. God is blessing. I'm about to get a job. Take hope. Well, Bobby, I'm retired. I don't have anything to give anybody. You know, I got my schedule, all right? I get up at 3 in the morning. I take my first nap at 10. I'm out by 2. I don't have time for anyone. You have so much wisdom stored up in your heart that someone would be blessed just by spending a day with you, right in front of you. Well, you don't understand, I hate my boss. My boss is just a bad person. They're not even smart. I don't even know how they got their job. That work is right in front of you. You're building that business. You've got that project in your mind. You think about it all the time, but you're fearful that it will fail. Where do you think that idea came from? It came while you were still being knit in your mother's womb. That work is right in front of you. Don't miss the opportunity to worship well what God is doing. We'll come back next week. We'll continue in this series, Work, a Theology of the Gift of Work. I pray that you will see it that way this week. What a blessing to be called a co-laborer with Christ. That He would use people like you and me just walking down the street to show what it's like to be Jesus people. And that while you're computer programming or call centering or whatever you're doing, God is like, let's get to work. I'm going to pray. Our team's going to come up. Don't leave just yet. They're going to lead us in another song, and then Star's going to come up and talk to us about this worship envelope and opportunity for you to give or to let us know what you're up to in life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for the lives that are here. Thank you for the richness of your word and what it tells us about how we should spend our days. We went a lot of places today in Scripture. Lord, will you submit things in our heart that you want for us? Whether it be a challenge or an encouragement, will you help us to lean into that? Will you help us to be good image bearers in our places and spaces? We would be accused of being good, not cultural Christians, but biblical Christians. Rooted in the fruitfulness that you've called us to. You help us do that. You bless us this week. Give us insight into how to apply this word. Will you help us to do the work obediently that's right in front of us? For your glory. In Jesus' name.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown. My feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand, and my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be where feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed, and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk.
I invite you guys to have a seat as we continue to worship the Lord through our giving back to God time. Right now, some people will be coming by with baskets, and this is your opportunity to worship and giving back to God. If this is your first time, we would love just to get that connection card. That can be your gift today. And we'd love for you to share your prayer requests on that. If there's any way you'd like to be connected through the events that we mentioned, you can also write that down. But we would love to walk through life with you and pray for you. And this is our way of doing that, through the connection card. If you are a regular time, a regular attender, this is your opportunity. You know, Discovery is an incredibly generous community of worshipers, and we love to give back to our community. And this is the way we do so. If this becomes your church, then of course we would invite you to give along with us, not only to the community, but in just the different ways that our church reaches out to the community. And this is your chance to do that. Also, there will be at the back table a chance for you to give back your connection card that way. So if you didn't get a chance to write something down and you'd like to, we would cherish that being turned in at the back. Well, I'm so thankful that we got to worship together today. I've just got a couple other things to share with you before you guys take off. And one of them is an Eternal Anchor fundraiser that's coming up. Eternal Anchor is one of our missions that we give to and serve at. It's a ministry down in Baja, Mexico that reaches out to special needs and disabled kids and adults and their families. It's an incredibly under-resourced area, and this is our opportunity to partner with Eternal Anchor. And in just 2 weeks, we're having a fundraising dinner, and I have little invitations like this for you if you're interested. It is such a fun night, you guys. We did it last year. Yep, Jason will be there. There you go. Thank you, Jason. Jason actually is the MC, so if you like Jason Curry and you want a little bit more of his humor, come, because you'll get a lot of it, and it's a lot of fun. I'll be there as well. I have gotten the opportunity to serve on the team this this year, and it's been such a blessing. Last year was our first time doing this, and you guys, it was amazing how well it just went. God's hand was just in it, and we had about 80 people. And this year, our goal is 120. So we would love for Discovery to really show up. We're not the only church that's going to be there. We're not the only group that's going to be there. But we would certainly love to just show what big fans we are of Eternal Anger and how much we are just brothers and sisters with them. So this is a fun night. Think of it as a fun date night. Or if you're in a small group, get your small group. You guys could do a whole table of eight and enjoy a dinner together. It's going to be catered with some amazing Mexican food and amazing desserts and amazing time there. It's a lot of fun. So I'll actually be the one back there handing these invitations out. There's a QR code on there. You can get registered. We just have a ton of fun. So that's my little plug, you guys. It's in 2 weeks, and it's going to be tons of fun. Bethany's going to be there. Yep.
Be there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to have... That's right. Yep. Evelyn will be there. Yeah, so many. It's the place to be, I'm telling you. So get your small group, get your spouse, get your friends, and let's go do that together. Last little thing is in about 15 minutes, we're going to turn this place back into a school. So if you would like to, we've got fellowship time over there. We get a little eager. Sometimes people start stacking chairs. And if that's your way to make conversation with somebody, find somebody new, stack chairs together. But otherwise, just hold on a sec. Give yourself a few minutes to get some coffee and some treats, and then come back and stack up chairs. We'd love to do that with you. It's a super way to get involved for the first time. If you haven't found a place to serve, it's a good way to do it. And it's a good way to apply Bobby's message, right? We can work right now and bless other people. If you have any questions or aren't sure exactly what to do, see Jason. He'd love to get you. That's right. That's him too. He's working it this week. Yeah, he'll find a job for you and get you plugged in. I hope you guys have a great week. Thanks so much for worshiping with us, and we'll see you next Sunday.